been with the service so far. I wish it was like, you know, no third class. The repeats that I caught was very, very interesting. How many thrones are there in heaven? Amen? Many things we want to do. Full sentence. The most that the Lord has allowed us to know now for us. So, we come back to our trek through the book of Romans. Now, we're now in chapter 14. That's what we'll deal with today. And it's been a journey, a good one. It's a journey filled with mercy. So today we want to look at what we have called adiaphora. That's a Greek word for things that are outside of moral categories, in the sense that what itself means neutral, it means indifferent. So we are asking ourselves whether to eat or not to eat. That's the title of the message, that we are for to eat or not to eat. How we go further, let's go to the Lord for help. Holy Spirit, we invite you to teach us. We pray, Lord, that you would open our minds to your truth and to transform our affections through your mind-renewing word. Help us to conform to your will, your good and acceptable and perfect will. We arise this in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There have been arguments in churches over the appropriate length of the worship pastor's beard. In another church, the deacon was accusing another deacon of sending an anonymous letter, and they decided to settle their matter in the parking lot public through an instrument that was physical and not smooth. Some churches get it that no instruments can be used in music. It's the only the voice that should be used. The song require only the singing of psalms. That was so with the Puritan. Bloody Presbyterians, hundreds of years ago. They sought to follow strictly what was in the Bible, and this was their interpretation, their understanding, that only hearts and our sons could be allowed in church service. Not too long ago, there's also a difference in opinion in this church. People wanted us to sing only hymns. Some instances, dancing is outlawed. So you cannot dance. In some churches, you cannot dance. In Christianity, and therefore our matter is not regarded as essential to nevertheless permissible for Christians or can move out of the church. But the Westminster Confession, it distinguishes between elements and circumstances of worship. Finds that the elements must be derived from Scripture. And so there is the regulative principle that guides the order of service, what you should do in worship. We pray the Bible, we sing the Bible, we preach the Bible, we read the Bible. We take the sacraments. You know, the Lord's table, that is time for baptism, it's part of the worship service. So what is this regulative principle? We're deriving it from Scripture, that whatever Scripture permits expressing within worship is what you do. And anything else is forbidden as it relates to worship. This is a regulative principle. This is what guides in the function. See it as well. So the order of service is then subject to this principle. That's the element of worship. So the Westminster Confession of Faith determines that this, the elements of worship, are not negotiable because they are derived and directed and commanded by Scripture. God is very, very, very careful about how he's approached, about how he's worshipped. It's in the pages of Scripture. He doesn't take worship lightly. He doesn't take worship carelessly. In Ecclesiastes, it says that you be careful with your mouth and how you make your vows. And come to the Lord after making your vow. And then you go back and say, well, quite understanding that. Of course, we see the new staff of Midler and Abide. We see the instant of those are trying to steady the boundary. God is concerned. He's very careful. He has detailed instructions with regard to how he sacrifices me now is because of the holy God, and we are not. So the elements are fixed by Scripture. But the circumstances of worship then fall into this area of idea for what are these circumstances? We're talking about the time for worship. In this church, we used to start worship at 8:30. We move that time. There is nothing in the Bible that says you must have the worship sessions by so and so time. In the Old Testament, of course, they have times of prayer fixed. Not according to the New Testament. Not even the days are fixed. Insofar as we have a day called the Lord's Day that is separated from other days. Men by the first church that's ever seen in the world. That you must meet is not at your fault. It is not negotiable. When to meet, where to meet, how it will look like. Those circumstances are not something to worry about. You have these comfortable single chairs. In some of our churches, it was a difficult thing to transition from pews. It was almost as if it was a Levitical command that it must be a wooden bench. So these kinds of things are causing and cause problems in church reports. These are therefore. So these are matters, as we said, that are not essential. They have no moral category in the sense that they are amoral, in the sense that they are indifferent, in the sense that they are what? Neutral. Churches have quarreled about the carpet, quarreled about the color in the children's church. Quarrel leads to splits. Quarreled about, like I said, you know, the musical instrumentation. So it was one monk that helped us. He was a nice guy with respect to how we should be in essentials, humility, in non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. It's a great maxim. It's not inspired, it's a great guy. In non-essentials, charity. Problem is, how do we know what is it? Non-essential. How do we clarify and classify it? So in these non-essentials, you have believers, you have freedom. It started right there from the Garden of Eden. The prohibition, the injunction, the instruction from God was for the particular tree. There were different trees and different fruits. Never told them which one to take for breakfast, which one to take for lunch. It was an accident for them. God had given this and freedom. So go ahead. It's all yours. Enjoy. Only one provision. So that's the thing. Once freedom is introduced, that means that there will be diversity, strictly, with respect to how the freedom is expressed and attained. That's exactly what we see. Interpretations, understanding, environment, culture, training, education, these are things that we need in diversity. The Bible does not say that diversity is wrong. But in the midst of diversity, we must maintain unity. That is the issue. And that's the very thing that the apostle seeks to address in this chapter, particularly with the Roman church. Because there were differences that were manifest. The church that is made of Gentiles and Jews. These differences were manifesting in terms of what they eat, what they can drink, and the days, and how you can look at the days. So, while we can say that the book of Romans was written for many reasons, it was also written for this. What is harmony within the church? So, you remember from history. Now, this is after the first Jerusalem Council that we see in Acts chapter 15. So there, certain areas were defined, the place of circumcision, you know, within the church, and so on. But here you find these Jews somehow, their culture, their lifestyle from old. Still within the system. Food was supposed to be prepared in a certain way. And not all food was allowed. They had strict dietary laws that they had been following all their lives. So imagine someone who doesn't eat pork. Now I see another person eating pork. Right. It still has not overcome that. Doesn't think that the because it was given as a spiritual command. It wasn't just from their head. It was difficult to get around. Difficult to put aside the days that they observed, you know, the Day of Atonement, this day, and that, all of those celebrations that they had. It was difficult. It was a hard, not only what had become cultural, but also what was derived from their covenant. The Old Testament covenant. And so, a lot of areas that mind renewal was required and needed in this country. This was one of them. So the apostle is addressing this. Here we see five commands and what I would like to call controlling principles and guidelines. There are three of them. And then, of course, the conclusion. So the first command is in verse 1. It tells them to be welcome. Welcome. Differences in opinion, differences in understanding. Welcome one another. Particularly the one that is seen to be weak in the faith. Welcome one another with respect to these things, but do not quarrel over them. They are indifferent, they are neutral, they have the moral that's good. Amen. It reminds me of and we were just, you know, born again, we were doing the faith, world of faith and all of that. That's a good stream. First of all, we didn't know what they had, what the thing said. Okay? And was that? It's like, you know, people had them on the wall. And so, I used bronze, and the bronze plate, and so on, come up with them. Nice looking thing. And we looked at it and we did it. So it should not be a portal from which yeah. We don't quite understand this. So for now, we need to stop. That's an area of weakness. So speaking about in verse 1, opinions, that we shouldn't worry about opinions. A lot of these things say, now we were just talking about disputes, what matters. So these are like practices or activities of the now that the Bible does not expressly forbid. But nevertheless, some Christians are uncomfortable as a result of their conscience. They have a very sensitive conscience in that respect. And so we are difficult. Remember in the book of Acts what it took for Peter to go into the house of the Gentiles? I think it was in chapter 10 before he went to the community's house. That's not a vision. That was repeated 3 times. Christ, the King. Never. Lord. That's the same thing at all. This one, maybe I made a mistake. I never allowed anything to keep how he could. I don't think that. Who were sent to ask for him specific. So I wouldn't have, I said, and then the Spirit told him, go with those people. I accept before we do it. So you can understand these guys, some of these Jews, they haven't had that kind of experience as well. So it was just sensitive. Why? Why? And so here, the apostle is calling them and describing them as weak in the faith. Now, that weakness is not a derogatory word. It doesn't mean that, you're weak and therefore you're just like a child. You don't know what you're doing. So, what do you mean? Listen, listen, listen. Listen, listen, listen. There are sometimes that back in the day when we also see people who did not quote unquote understand to our level, we say that these are baby Christians. There was an air of superiority. That's not what the apostle is communicating here for. It's because of that sensitivity. And in fact, those people who are being classed as weak here, they will perceive themselves as the stronger. They're following it. They are disciplined. They are diligent. So they don't see themselves as strong. But it's just that they were limited in their understanding. That's what this weakness is speaking about. They were at that point immature. Not difficult in the world. What had actually happened to what the gospel paradigm has brought. That is the total change. It's the total change. So you use those words like new creation to drill down to the essence. Everything is not new. So we have to renew our minds. That's what he says. For that. Now we do not know Christ after the flesh. The way we perceive him is different. The depth of the change. So that you can welcome this wonderful. Not for us to start searching scriptures and seeing and all of this, and you try to beat that one in the head, but you don't know anything, you're still a baby. No. So you saw these people, they were not able to eat things because they saw that the meat may have been offered to idols. He addresses this as well as the church of Corinth, the first time. In our present day, some of us may have had challenges with eating salad meat. Meat that is offered to idols. What are we to do with those brethren? Welcome. And be gentle. That's what I'm just saying. Gentle, be patient with the one who doesn't have the maturity and understanding. Right now, who is weak? So they were like, we know those things. Basically, they just said, this one we don't understand. Let's just embrace it. First. Because we don't know which meat has been offered. And this place that we are, why those are. We're selling to the market. So, since I can't be asking the guy, and you offer this one. So, it's just like that. So, that's what we found that in the church. We have to address that. There's only very simple. Like these Jewish Christians are trying to maintain those spiritual laws, like you said. Then, some of them, of course, on not certain days, in verse 5. Put certain things above the others. He says, that's funny. You can put that. It's not something for us to quarrel over. And some also don't even drink. And we've had those kind of conversations as well. What kind of, is it going to be orange juice? Can we use Coke? And should it have alcohol? I mean, you know, the one that was in the Bible had alcohol. Should it be one bread? Should we even have, you know, use wafers? Can't we just use one bread and everybody will take a pinch from it? Because it's a common rule. It was Christ, by the way. These are things, though, that are serious. And people make it very serious. Very, very serious. So welcome, I accept what I'm doing. Even if you disagree, don't let it hinder fellowship. The question that occurs to us is, which one are we to even now? The argument is really simple. Since God has welcomed all, welcome the weak and the strong, we should therefore welcome all. If we're brought in by His grace, it's the same way that we should also bring in other people by His grace. In verse 3, we see another command. It says, don't judge, not despise. That was the tendency of the weak, the one who's classed as weak, was being judgmental. The one who's classed as strong would then look down upon. Look down upon the ones who are called weak. Here, the Bible is saying us to not judge. There's only one judge, that is Christ. This is a controlling principle. Here we see the first controlling principle. It says that we are accountable. Why do we not judge? Why do we not despise? The level of your understanding and knowledge should not make you judge or despise. Why not? Because we are accountable. It's only one person that everyone will be accountable to. And that is Christ Jesus Himself, who is the judge of all, both the living and the dead. Both the living and the dead. And we're going to stand before Him to account for how we have lived our lives. He said, even for every idle word. He said, pursue. Now, this is not a judgment of a hellfire. Obviously, this is a judgment for Christians. That judgment of the great white throne, wherein rewards are being put in view. So don't judge, don't despise. The third command is from verse 5. It says, be fully convinced. Be fully convinced in your own way. You must act out of conviction. And this is where the conscience comes to play. God has wired our conscience into us to enable us to tell what is morally right from morally wrong. All humanity. You don't have to be religious, you don't have to be a person of faith to know that to take something that doesn't belong to you is wrong. Conscience. With knowledge. And so whether you're participating or you are stealing from him, leave you, you've got to be convinced. In other words, if you are doubtful about a believer, don't do it. Don't do it. Do not go against your conscience. This is dangerous. The only thing that can bind a person's conscience is the word of God. nothing more. So whether you're participating or not, you are doing it to honor God. Again, the first time we see another controlling person. What is that? The Lordship of Christ. First controlling principle is that He is the righteous judge. This one is about His Lordship. He is the master of all that is alive or is dead. He is the one who has the authority. And it is His gospel that we're talking about. And His gospel declares that this is the power of God unto salvation. This teaching is what brings about the culture of the gospel as well. And that is what we seek to establish in all the churches. A culture that is built, that is guided by the gospel. Martin Luther says that the gospel cannot be beaten into our ears enough or too much. Yes, though we learn it and understand it well, yes, there is no one who takes hold of it perfectly or believes it with all his heart. So frail in thing is our flesh and disobedient to the Spirit. Gospel doctrine must be preached and taught. That's why the apostle takes 11 chapters to preach this gospel doctrine. Then and only then can the gospel culture be shaped amongst the Romans and all the people of God for all time. Be fully convinced, be assured. The fourth one is, do not cause anyone to stumble. It's a huge principle in the scriptures. Everywhere that you see this in the scriptures, the word stumble, it's always negative. It is specific concerning sin, that you're causing someone to sin. Now, Lord Jesus said, the one that causes even this one, my little ones, my children, to sin, it's better for that person to just hang your roots on our own. And customs this. Don't be the one who calls him to stumble by giving, by what you eat or drink. By what you eat or drink. Now, to be clear and to be sure, the apostle knows which one is which. He's not saying weak, strong, is all equal. No. Trying to bring some people over to God's very well. Trying to lift up others to your level of knowledge. If you that are strong, you understand your freedom in Christ. You that are mature, you're maturing every day. You understand your level of maturity in Christ. We have to bring the others along. Somebody gave a very, very important illustration about it. And the church moves at the pace of the slowest person, at the pace of the weakest person. I think that is the nature of warships and frigates. Warships as well. You know, they put the slowest in front. Then the other bigger ones that are faster that can defend it, they come behind. That's what this is, the principle that you put down here. Not to run ahead and leave. Jesus doesn't believe in you. The sheep that strays goes looking for it to bring it back into the fold. So this is so strong. He himself is so strong. He is clear in his mind that nothing is unclean in itself. Where did he get that from? Jesus taught that. Mark chapter 7, it says, it is not the thing that you eat that makes you what unclean. It is what comes up. What you eat that comes up. So what we're saying here, this one cannot be spoken for. It's unloving in idea form, in the things that have, that are neutral. It's unloving. So be aware. Because God has not commanded it. But in the things that are not idea form, you must. You must speak the truth. You must encourage. You must strengthen. Last command is to pursue peace. Pursue peace. You see what it says in verse 19. Pursue peace. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding, for re-education. We need to be able to do what the doctors would call triage. And to learn by reason and practice to separate the urgent from the normal, the mundane, the routine. That's what doctors do. And they see something within all kinds of limits. You have the one that is present, that can kill us. When they see a whole bunch of people, we also have the emergencies that need immediate attention. Experience, understanding, and knowledge are able to tell you. So it is for us as well. To be able to separate the essential from the non-essential. What is urgent and what is in need of treatment. The secondary and the tertiary issues, what matters in the end is less the conclusion one comes to, but it is the heart towards God that brings us out. How you deal with these issues. It's the heart of this. So pursue peace and pursue that which will build up what? Here again, we see another final controlling principle that this is for the kingdom. For the kingdom. The kingdom of God is about God's righteousness. Our Lord will say, seek ye first the kingdom. His kingdom is righteousness. We have been brought in. He says, now we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5. We're no more enemies. This is what has happened. This is what God has done. We're no more enemies. We have been brought into a kingdom where there is peace between us and the one who we were at war with. Who? How is Ephesians put it? That before we were outside of the world, having no hope. Now we have peace. And in this kingdom, there is joy, God's righteousness. So that we are pursuing. We're pursuing the establishment of right thinking, right living in our offices, in our homes, in our schools. It's all about righteousness. And this righteousness is tested in every area. Don't need to build this wrong too much. Righteousness exalts a nation. It is lacking without mincing words in our nation. So that's the controlling principle. It is for the kingdom. How you were brought into the kingdom wasn't about eating. How you were brought in wasn't about observing a deal. Some food by the
That's what the way done is for Jesus.
Matthew chapter 6. That's what they are known for. And in conclusion, the ground of all this, the ground of all Christian behavior and ethics is that it must proceed from faith. That's the final part of the final verse, verse 23. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So whatever is not done out of a willing heart, submitted openly to God, is sin. So how do you feel before God about a thing? Can you partake in it with joy? Or do you feel guilt or shame as a result? Can you thank God for that? And at the end of the day, when you say that it's only, psalms or whatever that you must sing in the church, and the church is busy, can you thank God for that? Visions in the church over non-essentials, what they do, they divert precious time and energy from its basic mission. We have a basic mission. Our mission is to proclaim the gospel. No other institution has that instruction and responsibility to glorify God. That is our other mission, our other founding mission on earth. So that you should do good, so that your Father in heaven will be glorified. So, welcome, do not quarrel. Don't judge, don't despise, be fully convinced. Don't cause any to stumble. Pursue peace and division. This is control. The guardrails that we have to always see and abide by, that we must always keep our eyes on, is the fact that Christ is the judge, Christ is the Lord, and what we do, what it is about, is for the kingdom. So in these matters that are disputable, these matters where God the Holy Spirit has kept silent, to eat or not to eat, to drink or not to drink, to observe the day or not to observe the day, it's really not the question. But the ground of all Christian belief is that it must flow from faith. We'll stop here. And we'll proceed to our Q&A. So question and answer session for